My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Mark Moss Show, where we talk about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and the decentralized revolution that is happening. Of course, each and every week I'm trying to bring to you a little bit of education to help you understand what's going on, the latest breaking news, and some of the best and brightest and most interesting people in the space. And of course, that's what we're doing today. I am joined in the studio with one of my new friends, Leah Heilpern. Leah, thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, Mark, great to be on the show. I'm a big fan of everything you do, all the education you do, so I'm excited to join you.
Yeah, it's cool to have you on. You had me on your podcast recently, and that was super fun. And then we got to hang out in Miami for the Bitcoin conference, which was amazing. And you've decided to stay there, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, Miami is the land of the free. It's what America is supposed to be. Miami is truly amazing. I actually interviewed the mayor a few months ago, and after speaking with him, I just felt so inspired, so empowered to just make a better life. And I find that the general energy of affluence and entrepreneurship and empowerment is so encouraging, and is very unique in the world right now, because I think that where the world is in this weird kind of position whereby it's so doom and gloom. You know, we've gone from a lockdown to a war, you know, and that came from the riots with racism, you know, back in 2020, and, you know, the vaccine, us versus them, like it's just been nonstop. Whereas down here in Miami, it's just so, it's so empowering. It's really refreshing.
Yeah. I know that's a big draw for you. We've talked about that quite a bit. Obviously, you just said that, right? Seeing this kind of this air of excitement and around freedom. And you talk a lot about money and cryptocurrencies, which we'll get into. But just on that freedom piece, it seems like on one side, and I'd like your take on this, but it seems like on one side, like, it's like this idea of freedom and being able to choose what you want and say what you want is like so under attack. And it seems like the mainstream media would have us believe that it's dangerous and people don't want it and they have to control it. But on the other hand, it seems like there's like this real thirst for it. And what I see is that, you know, as Bitcoiners, we talk about people respond to financial incentives and it's about having skin in the game. And so if we look at like the last election, they do polls, and I'm sure they do them over in the UK the same, but they do polls and people just say, oh, this is who I'm going to vote for. And those are typically like way off. But then there's like betting markets where they bet, and those are extremely right. And that's because people put their money where their mouth is. And that's kind of the same what the financial markets are as well. And I thought what was interesting is there's all this talk about Elon Musk buying out Twitter. And it started because he was saying that, hey, there's way too much censorship going on. We should have more freedom of speech. And you know what? What the heck? I'm rich. I'll just buy it and I'll just make it free speech. And there's two interesting things that I want to get your take on. So one, people are freaking out because he wants freedom of speech, which is pretty interesting. So that would make me think, and it's mostly from the elites that make me think, well, shoot, do people really want that? But more importantly, the markets seem to have spoken. So since the day that he announced he was going to buy it till today, the Twitter stock is up 50%. So it's like the market. So the people are like, we don't want free speech. How dare he do this? But then the markets are like, yes, we're buying Twitter. It's up 50%, which, by the way, Peloton, Zoom, Shopify, tech stocks are down 80%. And Twitter's up 50%. What do you make of that contrast?
I mean, so we'll start with the outrage over Elon Musk buying Twitter. I mean, firstly, it's no surprise because unfortunately we live in a world which just really hates freedom of speech. And I think that this, yeah, it's true, unfortunately.
No, despite some people do.
Yeah, I mean, when I say live in a world, I mean like generally speaking, and we know that to be true because of all the censorship that's going on, you know, whether it's deplatforming, canceling, you know, blackening somebody's name, and all this stuff. But I think that the concerning thing is freedom of speech is one of the most empowering things that there is. Without freedom of speech, we are not free, because freedom of speech isn't just about physically speaking, right? It's about the way you express your money, you know, what things you have access to, freedom of movement, and lots of different things. And it's just no surprise that this is happening. I think that we also live in a world where people don't want to take personal responsibility, which means they constantly have this sort of victim mentality. So words hurt them. So I grew up being told that sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never harm you.
Yeah, I remember that.
But that's not true anymore. Yeah, that's not true anymore. So words really upset people. They harm people. Words are now violence. And unfortunately, this kind of weak mentality has been passed down to us from the elite, which is also why the elite don't like the freedom of speech that Elon Musk is championing, right? Elizabeth Warren absolutely hates him. From what it seems. So you have this kind of victim and dependent narrative which is trickling down from those at the top. So it's no shock. At the end of the day, words do not harm you. And I'm a huge advocate of freedom of speech, because people always like to say, well, you know, Hitler was able to say whatever he wanted. And it's like, actually, that wasn't freedom of speech, because if you were against him, then you get locked up or killed or whatever it is. So that's not freedom of speech. With freedom of speech, words really do have consequences. This is the thing which people are upset about with Twitter. They think that words now don't have consequences because you can't get banned. Actually, your reputation is the biggest consequence. If I went out there and I said something really revolting, if I said, you know, whether it was crude sexually, whether it was racist, whether it was, you know, transphobic, you know, whatever it is, my reputation is at risk. And then people will know who the real layer is, and then they won't work with me, and then I'll be in trouble and I won't have any friends or whatever it is. You know, I really will be facing the consequences of my words. And that is the beauty of freedom of speech. We can see people for who they are. It's so dangerous to ban people, because then we don't really know. Here's the thing. I just want to mention Alex Jones for a sec, because Alex Jones has been deplatformed. I know he said some really crazy stuff, and I think he apologized about he said that one of the shootings was a hoax. I think he apologized about that. But overall, he's been right about some things, he's been wrong about other things. But because they banned him, I don't actually fully know all of his beliefs. I'm a bit too young to know because I wasn't following him since the beginning. So now I don't know whether he is a conspiracy theorist or not. Perhaps if they didn't ban him, I would have a much more comprehensive and better understanding about him and be able to, you know, come to my own opinions and see truth. That's my problem. You know, words have consequences. Regarding the market, money speaks, Mark. Money speaks. It is what it is, isn't it? People always knew that Elon Musk buying Twitter is one of the best things. It was literally a failing platform, unfortunately. I always compare it to Ethereum. I'm like, it's unusable. It's congested. There's too much going on and I can't see what's happening. I'm not surprised that the money speaks.
Yeah, so many good points that you brought up there. So the first question I go back to is, you had said that we were taught that words don't hurt us, but today they do. Do you think that the elites are saying that they do, so we have this victim mentality, so then they can use that as a lever to control the speech? And actually, I want to ask you about that, and then I want to get more back into the difference of what they're really doing and saying, and then what the market is saying on top of that. But before we do, I just want to tell everybody, again, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. Of course, we talk about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, the decentralized revolution. I like to talk about the intersection of politics, finance, and technology, which of course is what we're talking with. And I'm joined in the studio by Laia Halpern. You can find her on Twitter. It's Laiah Halpern, Halpern. Give her a follow, say hi to her there. When we come back, I want to keep talking about this Elon Musk thing a little bit, and then I want to dig in on some central bank digital currencies, which you might have heard has been coming, and what you might not have heard is just how bad and how dystopian these things could be. And I want to discuss that with you because I know you've spent a lot of time talking about that, and there's a lot to dig in there. So we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We'll be back in a second. Do not go away.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. We're discussing how politics, finance, and technology are all coming together and changing the world as we see them. And of course, we were talking about before the break, talking about Elon Musk and Twitter, which is politics and technology, I guess. Even finance, right? It's all three. All three of those came together. But I guess the elites are want us to believe that words are violence, that words are hurtful. But I don't know if they really believe them. It seems to me that they might be using them as an excuse to control the narrative. We saw just, I think today it was announced that, or yesterday, that the Biden administration has now is now putting together, I forget the word, I don't have it in front of me, but some sort of disinformation czar or whatever, right? And this lady, I saw someone posted today like a bunch of her tweets, old tweets, and she posted super, super heavily about Donald Trump and the Russian collusion and how stuff about Hillary and this and that. And all of those tweets have now been proven to have been fake and false and paid for by Hillary. So she was posting all this, which was massive disinformation, and now she's supposedly going to be the czar? I mean, how insane is this?
Yeah, it was so insane. I think Joe Rogan actually put it perfectly. He said his problem with misinformation, quote unquote misinformation or disinformation, is that what is classed as misinformation today can then be classed as true the next, right? So corruption in terms of paid tweets and stuff aside, things are constantly changing. They told us, and they said it everywhere. They said, if you have the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, you won't get COVID, right? And that was allowed. And that was okay. If you say the vaccine could cause some serious side effects, that's misinformation. And we know the latter to be true, to be the correct one. And so I think it's deeply concerning. They are trying to control the narrative. It's so obvious, you know? And I think in some ways, I'm almost happy that the last 2 years happened. Because it shows the true face of the establishment. And I think it's woken a lot of people up, particularly about the importance of decentralization and not trusting your government. You know, I did a tweet the other day, which was something like, you know, the smartest thing to do is to expect the worst from your government. You only have to look at the 20th century. You only have to look at the last 2 years. And then I think the most bizarre part of it all is if you say... okay, let's do the vaccine one again. If you say the vaccine isn't fully effective, that's misinformation. But if you say men can get pregnant, that is correct. So there's some kind of weird psychological disconnection with reality here. And it's absolutely done on purpose. It's not that the elites genuinely think that words hurt. No, you don't become the head of the World Economic Forum or president or prime minister because words hurt your feelings. Absolutely not. You become that way because you are ruthless and smart and so on and so on. But what it does is it creates a society of dependent individuals, weak dependent individuals. Why do you think there's a war on men and masculinity? Because who's going to fight back when stuff hits the fan? It's going to be the strong men. And if we don't have strong men, then we will be trampled all over. Who? I know all these cute pictures were rising to the surface of women holding guns in Ukraine. But I mean, until I actually see a woman with you know, boots on the ground, I don't believe it. It's the men that go into, mainly, generally speaking, it's the men that go in and go on with the boots on the ground and so on. And so we have to be, we have to be very, very careful. And I don't know to what extent this new disinformation board is going to be implemented, or I don't know what capacity it's going to affect us, particularly now, you know, Elon Musk is the CEO or owner or whatever, owner of Twitter. I don't know, but... that's where decentralization comes in. And that's where voting with your feet comes in. That's where, essentially voting with your feet comes in. If you don't like what's happening in the US, then you got to leave, basically.
Yeah. So voting with your feet, back to the Tesla stock, it's up 50%. For me, that's encouraging because it gets discouraging when I see, you know, all this censorship and then I see all these wackos saying all this stuff on Twitter. And I'm like, man, is that what people really want? Is that really the attitude of everybody? But then when I see like, man, Twitter stock's up 50%, like, no, that's not, right? And we can see, you know, Tucker Carlson, how many views Tucker Carlson's getting, or Joe Rogan, 200 million views, you know, smashing the entire CNN network. So that's got to be more encouraging. Those are people putting their money where their mouth is. Would you say that's encouraging to you?
Yeah, it's really encouraging. At the end of the day, I think money always speaks. If you look at the views, that tells us which direction we're going in. You look at the money, that tells us which direction we're going in. People will always vote with their pocket. And ultimately,
if they're allowed to,
but then they vote in other ways, right? So like, I'd say watching Joe Rogan rather than CNN is a form of voting, in that you're turning the attention somewhere else. And where there's attention, whoever has the attention has the power. And although you're not necessarily setting, although Joe Rogan isn't setting policy, he is setting culture, and culture is more effective than policy, in my opinion. And so it doesn't really matter what happens with these big boards and councils and stuff like that. We're not interested because we have a different community now. And it is encouraging, you know. I think after, didn't Joe Rogan, didn't like the mainstream media's attack on Joe Rogan actually benefit him? He increased more views.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think I read that somewhere.
I saw a lot of people saying, I've never listened to Joe Rogan before, but now I want to start listening to him. Like a bunch of tweets like that and came up. But I say if you're allowed to, because that's a piece that I want to dig into next. And I've been kind of making the case, we saw with the truckers in Canada, you know, they donated money to something that was legally protected and they got their accounts shut off. They were frozen. And I've been making the case that without the freedom, and you'd say without freedom of speech, there's no freedom, but without the freedom of being able to transact and make payments, there's no freedom. So if we're guaranteed the freedom of speech in the United States Constitution, you guys don't have a constitution over there in UK, but
kind of,
yeah. But in the US, you're guaranteed the freedom of speech. But in today's day and age, if I can't buy a phone to go online or a computer to go on social media or to build a website, I don't have freedom of speech. If I can't pay to put gas in my truck to drive, I have freedom of assembly. But if I can't put gas in my truck to go to that assembly, I have no freedom of assembly either. So it starts with the payments. And that seems to be the next attack vector. They want to control those payments. And so obviously they do with the dollar. And we've saw that, how they've done that in Canada. We saw how Russia, a superpower, got their bank account seized as well. But the next stage that they want to roll out, these central bank digital currencies, could give them unlimited, unprecedented power that I think most people haven't really thought through. And I know you've been spending a lot of time talking about this. I want to dig into that. But you're listening to The Mark Moss Show, and we're talking about, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. We're talking about how politics, technology, and finance are all coming together to change the world that we're in right now. And if you're not paying attention, it could be left behind. It could be bad for you, especially when it comes to the central bank digital currencies that they're rolling out. We still have time to push back. I'm joined in the studio by Laia Halpern, and we're going to dig into that in a second. She has been talking a lot about this. Of course, I've been talking about it a lot as well. We still have time to push back if you get educated. So I got a lot more to go over when I get back in a second. Don't go away.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, the decentralized revolution, as I like to call it. The world is changing rapidly right before our very eyes, and we can either become victims to it, or if we're paying attention, we can help shape the world that we want and come out ahead on this. I'm in the studio with Laia Halpern, and we are talking about this freedom of speech and this Elon Musk Twitter, pretty interesting, and kind of just the difference of what they're telling us, what they really want, stopping freedom of speech and what the market's favoring. But now it looks like this next attack vector is the money. Henry Kissinger famously said, control the food, you control the people, control the energy, control the continent, control the money, you control the world. And so, of course, those are the three things that we're seeing: attack on food, an attack on energy, an attack on money. And this next attack on money seems to be the central bank digital currencies that they want to roll out. A lot of people maybe don't realize what's happening because money is pretty much digital anyway. But there's a lot more to that. And I know you've been thinking a lot about that, right, Laia?
Yeah, I think you make a really interesting point. People don't realize because they think money is digital anyway. So they're thinking,
which
what's
it is.
The difference? Yeah, now it is, yeah. But, you know, they're thinking, what's the difference?
Right.
The difference is efficiency, I would say. So right now they can block your bank. They can't necessarily confiscate money as such. I don't believe that your money... Actually, they can confiscate money. They did that in Cyprus in 2013. So for those that don't know, in 2013, it was called the Cypriot haircut. So those who had over 100,000 euros in the bank account had some of it basically confiscated to help pay back the economy, because the economy was in it was in dire straits, essentially. So they confiscated money from the wealthiest citizens to help pay for it. People woke up the next day with their life savings gone. Now that's rare, I guess, but it happens.
We saw the Biden administration seize $7.5 billion of the Afghanistan central bank just in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
So all their money is gone. And then obviously in Canada, their bank accounts got seized, and then Russia's bank accounts got seized. So it actually happens quite a bit.
Yeah, and I think that there's a difference between like actual confiscation and freezing. I don't think anybody's funds were confiscated in Canada. Am I wrong or right?
To your point, they froze them, and the next step would have been to take them, but I guess they gave most of them back under immense pressure.
Yeah, exactly. So with central bank digital currencies, they're on the blockchain. But it's centralized. And so the same awful monetary policy, which they have now, printing money and so on, will be implemented. And I think the problem is that there's this whole idea that they will be marketed as better for the environment. They'll be marketed as this new, shiny, amazing coin. It's so innovative. Look at us. We're at the forefront of innovation. That's what's happening in the UK anyway. You've got these deadbeat politicians who are coming back as, you know, rebranding themselves as new and innovative by promoting CBDCs. But CBDCs are programmable. So if you hold the wrong opinion, They can be programmed so you can't spend your money. So given, you know, we're in the middle of this terrible climate catastrophe, sense the sarcasm in my voice.
an emergency. It's an emergency.
Yeah, we're all going to die in a year, as they've been saying for the last 70 years anyway. So given we're at peak emergency here, we've got to be careful. You know, you can't buy too much meat because meat is bad for the environment. And so you could go and fill up your car and your CBDC could get declined. Why? Because you've reached your pollution your pollution allowance. You've reached that. You know, you bought too much meat this week. That barbecue you had the other day, that was it. And this isn't that far off. This is the thing. I know it sounds crazy, but it's just not. If you only have to look at the last 2 years. Imagine if I said to you in 2018, the whole world is going to be locked down for something which has a 99.9% survival rate and they are going to force you and mandate you to take something which you don't necessarily need. In Europe, they're going to fine you €300 a month if you don't do it. I mean, it's ludicrous. And yet it happened. So the same will happen with CBDCs. And you make a really good point. I think money is the root of everything. And, you know, you can have freedom of speech. I can shout from the rooftop that I don't like my government. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. Doesn't mean anything. Nobody's going to hear me if I can't pay to get somewhere where people can hear me. It's like if you scream in the middle of the woods, is anyone going to hear you? If a tree falls, did it really fall?
A couple of things I think about central bank digital currencies too is that it's programmable money. So right now, to your point, they can freeze accounts or seize accounts, but it's not very convenient for them. So there's a lot of things they have to do. But with programmable money, it's built into the program. So for example, when they sent out the stimulus, the whole point was to stimulate the economy. They wanted people to spend the money. A lot of people didn't. They sat on the money. So they could program the money and say, hey, Leia, here's your money. But if you don't spend it by Friday, it comes back to us, for example. So they can program it. Or to your point, they could say, hey, you know, smoking's not really healthy anymore. It's not really an approved thing anymore. So now you can't buy cigarettes anymore.
Alcohol. You can't buy alcohol past a certain hour.
Or whatever they want, right? You can't buy steak anymore. You shouldn't be eating meat anymore. No more steak, right? I would not like that. They could say, hey, you don't save enough money, so we're going to give you a 5% interest rate. Hey, Mark, you're saving way too much. You're hoarding. You have a negative 10% interest rate. Hey, you have reparations. Hey, you're part of this, you know, minority group, whatever it may be. And so they can do all these things. They can program it into the money. Right. I mean, it's behavioral modification, behavioral control, really.
Yeah. And I think also we've got to emphasize the point that the money can expire. So they can print lots of money to stimulate the economy. That's their excuse for flooding the system and causing inflation. It's to stimulate the economy. Well, what if they want to do that? But what they also say is we need people spending to stimulate the economy. OK, so I don't know, 10% of your savings will expire if you don't spend it with an X. We're doing this to stimulate the economy.
For your good.
You just think about that for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, that literally, what does that do though? What does that do? It doesn't allow you to save and become financially free, build wealth. Therefore, you will always have to work to have money. You become a slave. You literally become a slave. And this will be a one-way relationship.
What does that mean?
You think President Biden's money is expiring?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. You think the head of the Fed, his money, the chairman of the Fed, his money's expiring? No. Given it's a blockchain, technically we should be able to see every single transaction that's ever happened, including where our taxes are going, including where you know, who Hillary Clinton is paying for different
of course,
things.
This isn't going to be on any open source blockchain. And really, it's not even money, right? So money, if you think about it, like back to the Canada situation, they didn't seize the money. They froze it. And part of the reason why they went back on that, I said, under immense pressure, is because what happened is everyone started going and pulling their money out of the bank. Even Jordan Peterson went on and said, hey, everyone should get their money out of the bank. And so there was these massive bank runs and they're like, oh, shoot, we better change this. And they did. But under a CBDC, there is nothing to go pull out of the bank. There's nothing to go pull out and put under your mattress or in your safe. And so really, at the end of the day, it's not money. What it is the government gives you credits on their ledger. And if you're a good boy or girl, you get more credits. And if you're a bad boy or girl, they take or whatever sex they deem you. I don't know about that. And then they take credits away from you, right? And so really, it's just like we get money as a credit from the government. I mean, that's very dystopian.
Yeah, I mean, you can't even flee, right? Like I'm always moving countries. Hopefully I'll settle in Miami for a bit. But I can come to Miami. I come from London to Miami with my Bitcoin. And I know that I'm okay. Like if, you know, I ever need money, I have a backup. I have a savings technology, which is mine and nobody else can touch. So essentially it's much, it's concerning because who says you can bring that across borders? Who says that you can flee tyranny with that? You can't because you don't own it, as you said.
Well, it's programmed. They could just say, hey, you can spend it in this country, but you can't spend it in that country.
Yes.
Period, you know. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, the decentralized revolution. I'm in the studio with Leia Helpern. We're talking about central bank digital currencies, which are coming. Ready or not, here they come. They're already in China. A few other smaller countries have already rolled them out. Of course, the United States Federal Reserve is talking about getting them out as quickly as they can. I want to dig in a little bit more. I have some other questions and some thoughts, and there's some bills that are pushing back on this that might hold it back, some things to talk about. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. I'm going to be back with more with Leia in a second. Do not go away.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin and the decentralized revolution. We're talking about politics, finance, and technology all coming together, changing the world as we speak. I'm in the studio with Leia Helpern. We are talking about all three of those things. We're talking about how the politics are deciding to control the finance of the money and using this new technology. And we're talking about central bank digital currencies. Now, we are talking about how they can be programmable money, how really it's not money at all because I can't withdraw it or hold it. It's really just a ledger and they can choose to let me, you can't escape with it in a country because they could say it only spends here, it doesn't spend there. I said earlier that without the freedom of payments, there is no freedom. When we were at the Bitcoin conference, I got to work the news desk for a while. It was pretty cool. And I was working the news desk when Alex Gladstein was on the stage with Yomi Parks. And I forget the other two people that were on there, but she's kind of famous for escaping North Korea and telling her story about that. And she made a statement that was kind of what I said, but the opposite. And it's something I've thought a lot about. And she said that without freedom, there's no need for money. I say without the freedom of money, there's no freedom. And she said without freedom, there's no need for money. And so what does that mean? Well, in North Korea, there's no freedom. And so they get their ration of rice and sugar, and they don't have any need for money because there's nothing to buy. There's no freedom. And so that's kind of what we're talking about in central bank digital currency. They'll give you their ration of checks on their ledger that you can buy your staples with, but then they control what you can and can't have, how much savings, to your point you made, how much savings you can have, things like that. So it sounds very dystopian. Now, there is some pushback on this. So a couple things that I'd like to ask about. So one, you know, I don't know that much about the government in the UK. I'm guessing it's just as incompetent, if not more incompetent, than the United States government. So first off, in the United States, under Obama, they pushed through this Obamacare with a government takeover of the healthcare. And they built this new website. And the website is very simple. Go on and shop for an insurance plan. There's lots of insurance companies that you can go shop for your insurance plan, and they were going to roll this out, and they couldn't do it. They failed. It was delayed. It didn't work. They spent $2 billion to roll out a stupid website, and they couldn't even get that done. They finally had to hire a private company to do that. Another example is for the last 40 years, the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, has tried to overhaul their tax system, and they have been unable to do that. Every single year, they mess up on hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tax returns. Just this year, after years and years and years and years and years of trying to do it, they said, you know what? We're not going to do it. As a matter of fact, we're just going to overhaul the couple core pieces of it, and then we're going to just forget about the rest. And that won't be done until 2030. So that's 8 years from now. So how competent do you think the government is on actually rolling out a system that works? I mean, do you think they can get this done in a couple years, or do you think that just like most government things, it'll probably fail?
It's such a great question. The reason why it's a great question is because usually I would say I think the government is incredibly incompetent. However, when there's a will, there's a way. They managed to get a vaccine out very quickly. They managed to get vaccine passports out very quickly. You're only allowed into the United States now if you're vaccinated. This is a very, very quick turnaround. And so it's very, very, they're very competent. If there is something to gain, they will do it. I think a lot of the time, the bureaucracy and the incompetence really just comes when there isn't an alignment, right? And there's pushback from the other party. I remember Obamacare being very controversial at the time. I was super young at the time, 2008. But I remember it really well. I remember it being very, very controversial. So I imagine part of the difficulty was all the pushback, naturally incompetent people. But if you have a group of individuals who are running the show, who have one set goal, it will be doable and it will be done when it needs to be done. I think it was Majid Nawaz. You know Majid Nawaz? So I think it was Majid Nawaz who said that the vaccine passport wasn't the goal. That allowed the physical infrastructure to be built for vaccine passports. So we have something digital. We have this digital infrastructure which can determine freedom of movement.
But they've leaned on. But all that has been built by private companies. The government hasn't built any of that out.
Correct. But does that matter?
So, well, I don't know. So then do you think that maybe the government won't actually roll out a central bank digital currency, but instead they'll maybe co-opt an existing stable coin and say, now we're going to take this stable coin. This is going to be our money now? Like, because we can't do it. So that's maybe kind of what you're talking about with a vaccine passport.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a central bank digital currency. It's not going to be a stable coin. And I think that it could be done with a private company. Why not? Let's just, the most efficient way to enslave the people. Why not? That's what they've already done. I mean, China's done it.
Do you think
a private company?
No, China doesn't do that. But do you think that the government, the U.S. government, doesn't maybe have as big of a need or a rush to do this? One, because the dollar is already the reserve currency of the world, and they have. And Jerome Powell actually said this, right? We have the most to lose, and so we can't rush this. We have to take our time with it. But also, how much of a demand is there? Because the U.S. dollar stable coins are already so prolific; they're already everywhere. They already make up a huge percentage of it. So the U.S. dollar is already represented out there. And so maybe there's not the biggest need for it, other than there's the control aspect of it. But if it's just, if we're just talking about it without the control, but maintaining the dollar's reserve status and position in the world, maybe it's already there.
I mean, any CBDC that we have would be a digital version of the US dollar. So I don't think it would undermine the dollar's position. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's needed. Like you said, we have stable coins.
Right. So it already has that.
They're working very well. Right. But the question is, to what extent would they like to control the population? So if you believe that everything is about the money, like I do, and everything is about control, then I see no reason why this won't happen. I mean, weird stuff is happening. Weird stuff. Like, everything has just stepped up a notch. What was that World Economic Forum video which came out about in 2030, you have nothing and you'll be happy? What is that? It's just weird. There's weird stuff happening. The last 2 years was weird. I think that...
to say the least,
It's odd, you know? So I think there is a plan here. And you know what's also weird, Mark? The fact that everything has just dropped suddenly. Everything's just dropped. Well, no more variants. We don't talk about it anymore.
Well, because we got the new thing, right? The thing. The thing I'd say also, you know, obviously you mentioned China. Well, I brought up China, and then you asked about China's private company. China's a total authoritarian. I mean, they don't hide it. It's the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, right? There's no hiding that. I don't know where the UK is, and there's some version of that. Obviously, the US is still somewhat between trying to go to a dictatorship, and we're still kind of somewhat free in a republic here. And so there is a lot of pushback here. And so, like, Senator Ted Cruz submitted a bill to block the Fed's ability to give accounts directly to the people and, like, compress the banking stack, which I thought was maybe one attack vector. And then we saw recently, like, that e-cash bill that got submitted where the Treasury would actually have the ability to roll out their own digital currency instead of the Fed. And so there's a fight there. So, you know, we'll see. I think if this... That gives me a little bit of hope, and back to kind of a little bit of hope. If this sounds like something that doesn't really excite you, maybe scares you a little bit, there's still plenty of time to push back on this. If you were going to make a prediction, do you think we'll see this in the next 18 to 24 months, or is this like 5 years or 10 years, or how far?
I think this is more 5 years to 10 years. But like you mentioned, there is a lot of pushback. I also think that the narrative is changing. I think that the push towards the left is becoming weaker. People are waking up. You mentioned politicians are standing up and sort of voting against these things. So I think that we may not get there because we're having these kinds of conversations. That's the point. More people are waking up. And so I am optimistic.
Yeah. Well, I'm optimistic too. And it is scary because to the point that we're making, I mean, this isn't money. This isn't something you can withdraw from the bank like in Canada. It's something that they just have the ability to control, and they can devalue it or steal it from you whenever you want. And so if you can't pull that money out of the bank and put it in your mattress, then where do you store your wealth? Well, that's where Bitcoin comes into play. So that's why I'm such a big proponent of Bitcoin. It gives us the ability to hold our wealth in a way that they can't create more of it, they can't inflate it, nor can they steal it or prevent me from using it. So it gives me the freedom of payments as well. You've been listening to The Mark Moss Show. I've been joined by Leah Helpern. You can find her on Twitter at Leah Helpern. And we'll put it in the show notes as well, talking about Bitcoin and the decentralized revolution. And that's what we got. Thanks for listening.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.